Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect. Welcome to the Burden Blessing Podcast. I'm Pastor Mark Tiefel. Joining me today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew, and we're going to be taking up a topic that probably fits into our CPR category, just kind of current events, things going on right now. And we're hoping to discuss the upcoming government election here in the United States. The theme of politics has been predominant throughout 2020 in the minds of the citizens of our nation, in the minds of Christians as well. And just talking about some of these topics from a Christian standpoint. We're going to have this podcast basically break down into two different parts, and we'll explain that in a second. But to begin, we want to make it very clear what we're attempting to do here by talking about this topic, but also what we're not doing. And the realm of politics can be a very personal, can be a very divisive topic, it can induce a lot of emotions at times, and can be difficult for everyday people, let alone Christians, to talk about. And then the problem becomes even more apparent when we try to bring our faith into the picture and we try to address these things from a Christian perspective. Sometimes we feel on edge about that. Sometimes we wonder how much we should say or not say. So one of the things we will attempt to do here in this podcast, two-part series, is just see how these topics in our nation today touch on themes of our Christian faith. There is a separation between church and state that is good, but at times we also have to recognize as Christians the reality that political themes, civil topics at times will contain spiritual elements, will at times spill into the realm of how we practice our faith and what we believe about God. One way I like to think of that is that as Christians, our faith is to direct what we support politically. And so there is a connection between those things. And we have to be real about that. So it's not a topic we want to avoid just because it's difficult to talk about. The church needs to respond and address things that are going on in people's lives, even if they are difficult. But at the same time, we don't want to be a political voice for one entity over another. We're not trying to endorse any particular candidate. We're not trying to tell the listeners how to vote. We're not trying to turn our mission here as a podcast into a political outlet. We're not trying to do any of those things. We're simply attempting to discuss what's going on right now in this election year with some of these very important issues in light of our Christian faith. And so in that sense, really approaching the topic like we do any other topic on the CPR series, looking at it from a lens of our Christian worldview. So getting those kind of ground rules down as we begin here, let's kick it over to Nathaniel here. He's going to give us the breakdown, kind of the outline of what we're going to do in this series on politics. What's the structure going to be, Nathaniel?
Yeah, glad to be with you, Mark. You've heard the old joke of the two things that you can't bring up at family meetings are politics and religion. And there's, you see that in interactions with people. Certainly things have changed a lot and they have become very controversial, very difficult. People are struggling to deal with some of these issues and wrestling with how does my faith affect politics or my voting or things like, or does it? And there are some people that say, no, it doesn't at all. So what we're going to do in the next two episodes, we'll break this down into two parts. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about why it is important that we discuss from a religious perspective what our government is doing, what it's there for, how we interact with politics, voting, all of those things. In part two, we'll dig into some more specific details and we'll look at how God does have very specific things to say about what he requires of leaders of the government. And we'll look at examples of how that then plays out in society as we look specifically at the second table of the law related to government and then related to what we should be looking for in government leaders, which then applies to voting. So today we're going to start with just breaking down and talking about the foundation. We have a government, and that government is there for a reason. So we're going to start off by talking a little bit about the fact that the government that we have is something that is given by God and instituted by God. So there's a lot of passages in the Bible that actually talk about government, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a topic that comes up quite a bit, specifically in the New Testament age, because I think that the form of government that was coming out in the New Testament in that era is very closely related to what we experience today. One of those sections of scripture is Romans 13, opening part of that chapter, where it starts, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for the authorities that exist are appointed by God." And then it goes into some of the specific duties of government. Another portion that touches on government is 1 Peter 2, where again it reinforces that point from scripture that the government was instituted by God and that God appoints the leaders. And so I kind of want to dig into that point a little bit more of when the Bible talks about God appointing the leaders that are over us, what are we getting at there, especially in light of the fact that so many of our leaders show a lot of godless characteristics sometimes? How could God appoint people like that to positions of authority? What's a good answer for that, Nathaniel?
Well, you know, you look at the Old Testament and you find all kinds of examples of that, don't you? You know, you think about how God used both good rulers as well as what we would consider to be wicked rulers for his own purposes. So one of those accounts in the Old Testament that kind of stands out in my mind is Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus during the Babylonian captivity, how God would use these individuals in spite of their godless character to still serve his particular purpose. And as you pointed out in Romans chapter 13, for example, the Lord points out very clearly through the Apostle Paul that these individuals are chosen by God and they have a very specific role that God has given to them as leaders of the government. We're going to talk more about that in part two of our podcast, where we take a look at the commandments and how they apply here. But it is so important to realize that whether your candidate is elected or not, either way, that person is ultimately responsible to God. God has put them in that position, and God has a certain responsibility that he's asking that individual to carry out on behalf of the citizens who have elected him, or, you know, in other types of government, they might not be elected. Maybe they inherited that position, you know, if you're in a monarchy. So there's different ways that you come into power, but either way, God has chosen those individuals for that position for that very time, whether they are Christian in character or non-Christian character. It doesn't change the fact that God still uses those individuals. Does that answer your question, Mark?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the thought to keep in mind there. And I think the tendency when we think about God appointing people is that this is God's sort of chosen representative, like the theocracy of the Old Testament. For those unfamiliar with the term, a theocracy just simply means a rule by God. And God ruled his people directly in the Old Testament. You think like Moses leading the children of Israel. God specifically chose Moses and acted through Moses to accomplish his will. And I think there's a tendency for us to think of our leaders that way today. And we don't live under a theocracy today. We live under a different structure. God does not divinely act through our president or through our elected officials today as he did in the Old Testament. But the Bible does tell us clearly that God appoints that position of authority for a purpose. It doesn't mean that God agrees with every decision the president makes, nor should we. That doesn't mean that God, that this individual is infallible or that they speak on behalf of God. It's not that kind of a system. But God is the author of law and order. God is the author of government in the sense of having a structure to provide for people's lives here on earth. And it in that sense, that's what Romans 13 and other sections mean when they say that the government is God's minister And keep in mind, the word minister simply means a servant. And so we can believe that as Christians, that this person was appointed by God and should be respected as our leader, even if they promote things that stand against God, even if we have to disagree with them on things. And that's where we start to get into the difficult territory of how does one do that when they recognize things about their elected officials that they cannot, in good Christian conscience, agree with, and yet at the same time, still try to respect them in the way that God has asked them to.
Yeah, one of the examples that is just amazing to me, Mark, when you think about what you've just laid out there, is Daniel in the Old Testament, who didn't agree with his governing leaders, but he did respect them, didn't he? He would do what he was called to do, and when it went against his God, he would take a stand. He would say, this is wrong, I'm not going to do this. And the Lord blessed the results in the case of Daniel as well, of protecting him and being with him through all of that. So we have some really good examples throughout the Old and the New Testament of being obedient to those who are above us, being thoughtful, praying for those who are in authority also. And I think a lot of times when from what I have seen, and I think we all experience this, but when we go into the electoral season and if somebody isn't elected that we wanted to see there, a lot of times we get frustrated or angry, and the Lord calls us not to be frustrated or angry, but to pray for that individual. We should be praying before the elections that the Lord would put the right person into that office, whatever office that might be, and then we continue to pray that the Lord would direct that individual throughout the time that they are serving our government as well. So there's a lot that the Bible has to say about praying for our governing leaders, whether they be good or wicked. Either way, we still owe them that respect.
Yeah, Daniel is a prime example there. We're doing a sermon study right now on the book of Daniel. And it's been just eye-opening to see Daniel, when he disagreed with the rulers he was under, obviously his conscience was bound by what God said. And so he was very concerned with the truth and morality from God's word and what was right and wrong. But he was equally concerned with upholding the standard that God had for him of respecting the leader that was under him. So even when he or the leader that was over him, even when Daniel disagreed, was forced to disagree with the kings because of their disobedience to God, because of their blatant immorality, because of their wickedness, he still did it in an upstanding way, in a very respectful way. And that's what you don't really see today, I don't think. You see Christians, I think, that are conscience bound by what some of our leaders are doing and they speak out against it, but they don't always keep in mind that it's equally important to do that in as respectful a way as possible. And I think that's really one of the factors that breeds so much of the division we see in our nation, even within the church on some of these political themes, is we are right to disagree with some of these topics, but we're doing it the wrong way. And that's just as bad of an outcome as walking hand in hand with the immorality that you do see. And we have to be mindful of that as Christians in our age. You're not gonna make anything better here in life. You're not gonna convince anybody on the other side if you disagree in a derogatory, disrespectful way that is also sinful according to God.
Right. Well, and I think one of the issues that we're running into, and this has been a problem throughout my lifetime, but I think more and more, especially in our current environment, I've seen and heard from people that say, you know, I'm just so fed up with what's going on, I don't want to be involved with it at all. And so let's touch on that for just a little bit. What does God tell us about Christian involvement in politics, in the government? Should we say, I'm going to take a step back and I'm not going to be involved at all? Or is there something that God is calling us as Christians to do, to say, and how should we do that? Do you have any thoughts on that, Mark?
Well, that's the tough question, isn't it? That we talk so much about the separation between church and state that at times we start to feel that we can't our Christian faith should not have any bearing on what we believe politically. That flame has been stoked recently in the culture in the United States as well, that if you have any element of your Christian faith guiding or leading your way, then you're biased and you're being discriminatory against others and you're being intolerant. And yet this is the problem that we have, is we have a nation that upholds religious liberty and religious freedom. So from a biblical standpoint, how does one properly represent his or her faith and use that to make informed decisions about politics, and should we be doing that? And I think the answer is yes, absolutely. And that's where it's helpful. In part two, we're going to bring in that second table of the law and the Ten Commandments, how we are to deal with our neighbor, our fellow human being. And in each of those commandments, it's our faith that is informing how we are to act. And so God provides a model for us there, just in the Ten Commandments, of using your faith to guide your way in how you act. That doesn't mean you try to use political power or governmental force to compel a person to be a Christian. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about, on a personal, individual level, should your faith have any bearing on the choices you make in the civil realm? And God's word is clear, they should. Because that's really what politics is how do I deal with my neighbor? What kind of policies do I want in place? What kind of programs should the government be doing? How should the government be God's minister to protect the people? These are second table topics. And that's where I think it's very clear a Christian should use their faith to inform their opinions and their beliefs about those things. We shouldn't shy away from that. And that's part of the difficulty that we see today, is the intimidation to not use your faith, or the idea, the insinuation that you're not loving a person if you're informed by God's word, and if that is guiding the choices and decisions you make.
I think back to Daniel, and I look at how his faith governed him and the decisions that he made and the things that he said to the kings that he served under, didn't it? His faith came out in those situations, and he did use that as a method of, we talk about law and order and how important that is for any government to have law and order. When we go to the second table of the law, those things are not only just revealed by God, but they're given by God naturally. Mm-hmm. These are things that all human beings recognize or should. These things are right. These things are wrong. And so it even transcends what we would say is revealed in the Bible, in the sense that God has given this to us innately. We know by nature these things are good or bad or right and wrong. And ultimately that is the government's responsibility, is to lay out and to protect what is right and what is wrong. And the method that is done by in our government or form of government is through legislation, laws, making laws, and then defending those laws. So in our type of system, when you have the legislature, you have the Senate, you have the president, the executive branch, you have all of these different areas, that ultimately, this is where our voting does play a role and our faith does play a role in how our country then responds and how it will function moving on down the road.
And we want to be careful about just mentioning that can swing in the wrong direction too, where churches become sort of political entities supporting only one position, or really they change the church's mission to be one of a political nature of basically shaping the world in a political way, the way that church wants to see it. The social gospel would be an example of that, where instead of preaching the message of law and gospel, that Christ is the savior of all people for the forgiveness of sins, the message becomes one about kind of creating this utopian vision of life here on earth and eradicating all of the evil and oppression that we see around us through our works. The church can very easily become that. And so that's where the Christian, in that sense, collectively, we might say as a church, is becoming too involved in politics and using it to the neglect of the kingdom of God by faith. And we don't want that to happen either. So it is a hard line to walk, but if we just ask the simple question of should a Christian be involved in what the government is doing, should a Christian use his or her faith to inform the, you know, the opinions that they have about the direction of our country? Absolutely, God wants us to be doing that. You know, and if not, then our civil lives would really be the only place in life that God does not want our faith to be informing us. And that's foreign to the Bible. That's foreign to God's word.
Right. So, you know, as you think about some of the things we've discussed here, we touched on a couple of different things. First of all, I think it is important that we have people who are informed about what is going on, that they know what government is for, who the candidates are, what those candidates stand for. If you choose somebody, you want to know what they're going to do, what they're going to say, what they're going to be encouraging when they're in office. And that takes a little bit of work, doesn't it? To know who the candidates are, what their stances are, and those things. And I think there's some people that don't want to be involved simply because it can be time consuming to do all that research, to find out, you know, what this person says about this particular topic and the way then those topics and how they, because Mark, are you going to find any candidate that agrees with you 100%?
No, not at all.
You have to wrestle with then what are the most important things. And that's kind of what we'll get into in the second part of this, is what are some of those things that we should be really concerned about as an American citizen, and what we would like to see our government doing. But give a plug for why people who are listening to this podcast, why they should be concerned about voting. Why should they take the time to learn about the candidates and to go out and vote, whether that be by absentee or as they go to the booth in November? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's several reasons. And I think probably the most important reason is it's an opportunity for us to show our care and concern for the world around us. The Christian position, the Christian faith, always dictates us to look beyond this world. Jesus said, he mentioned keeping your mindset on things above and not things on the earth. And that is always our mindset as Christians, as we're looking beyond just what's happening here and now. But at the same time, it's not our place or our duty to neglect what's happening in the world either. And I look at this as sort of a time of grace element as well, where our duty here on earth to be mindful and aware and involved with what's going on in the world around us is also a matter of the gospel, because this is the forum through which we communicate the message of Jesus. And if you're the type of Christian who has the mindset of, well, this doesn't, you know, things of the world's going to end anyway. I mean, political leaders, they come and go, you know, I'm not going to bother in that. But I'm going to keep my focus on heaven instead. If you neglect what's happening here on earth, it's going to tarnish your ability to really communicate the message of Christ to your fellow man and woman here on earth. So I'm not saying you have to go out and go to a political rally, or you have to donate to a political candidate, or you have to get super involved, but you should take an interest in what's going on around you. God wants us to be involved in the world around us. And you look at examples from church history, the Christians were always very concerned about what was happening in their communities, in their societies. And the Christian faith was at the forefront of a lot of movements politically and civilly to eradicate the wickedness and evil that we see in human governments around the world. The Christian faith has been at the forefront of that battle from the beginning. That's our legacy as Christians. We want to be able to continue that. So I think from a Christian faith standpoint, that's a good thing to think about. From a simply a citizen standpoint, it's a blessing to have the right to vote. It's a blessing to be able to have a say in where the direction that our country goes. And again, if you're a student of history, we both are, you know that this is a new concept in the world. The majority of people who have lived on this earth have not had that right to have a say in the direction that their country goes. And so just from a maybe secular or civil standpoint, it is a blessing to have a vote. We may think in our minds, well, what's my vote going to do? What's it going to change? But it's a more personal thing of, I'm going to recognize the blessing that God has given me in this. the sacrifice that many Americans have made in the past to preserve this right for me, and I'm going to respect that and use it to the best of my ability and be thankful for that.
I'm glad that you brought that up, Mark. I think that's a really important point that, you know, you could look at it. There's some people that could say, well, you know, God doesn't need my vote. And that's true in the sense that he can put whoever he wants to in office, whether you and I vote or not. But the point is that God does want us to live out our faith, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. Even in relation to government, whether that's serving in a government leadership capacity or voting or serving in whatever way that you can, God calls his people to be actively involved, living their faith in all of these. This is vocation again. This is how we live out our lives and we glorify God through all of these opportunities. So when you prepare to go to the booth or to cast your vote, it also gives you the opportunity to be knowledgeable, to have that discussion then with people and to show your faith in those different areas of government that are going to come up in day-to-day conversations as well. So it's not just about the vote itself. It's about being prepared to have that conversation, to be able to communicate clearly what God says when it comes to government issues and the leaders in our government as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of it also as sort of a, you know, Christians are the light of the world. Christians are the salt that preserves the world. I think the positions you take in your nation, in your government, and what you choose to support does have a bearing on what kind of Christian light you're shining and what kind of world you're trying to preserve, what type of thing. So God has put Christians into the world for that purpose too. We should be careful if we have an attitude where we're neglecting an area where God might be calling us, like you mentioned with the word vocation, if God might be calling you to practice and live out your faith by supporting a government or by casting your vote or by showing the things that you stand for in the civil world around you, that's a dangerous thing to neglect if God has put you in the world for that type of purpose as well. That's not, again, not the only purpose we're here for, not even the most important one. To keep in mind, we are not trying to just turn the message of Christ into a political topic for a worldly agenda, but it is a segment of our Christian faith, as tough as it is to talk about, as emotionally impacting it can be for people. It also cannot be something we just deliberately avoid. We cannot do that as the church.
Right. And that's the whole reason that we are actually having this conversation. Again, we don't want to, as you pointed out at the very beginning, we're not here to push, you know, particular candidates or things like that, but just to encourage people, again, going back to the word of what God actually has to say about the role that a Christian should play and have in these issues that are so important for us today. I really appreciated the point that you made earlier of how Christianity throughout the history of the world has been on the forefront of changing things that were wrong in society. And we have that opportunity before us today too. That's not just previous generations, that's us today. We have that same privilege and opportunity right now. In part two, we are going to get into some of the applications of what God has to say about the role of government, what we should be looking for in government leaders based on a look at the second table of the law. I think most people probably don't consider or think about the second table of the law of the Ten Commandments related to politics or government. So we're going to take an in-depth look at some of those commandments and see how they apply to the issues, the topics that are very much on the table. And not just this election, but any election and things that we should be considering as Christians. So, Mark, thanks for being with us to get this topic started. Very important, valuable topic. These are issues that we want to take from God's word and apply it to our daily lives. We want to see how can we look at God's word, listen to God's word, and then see how it is very much applicable in what we are going through, living, seeing, and doing today. So thanks for being with us. We hope that you'll join us again next time for part two of our series on voting and the Christian's role in the government. So join us next time. Lord keep you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.